started.
Thanks for tuning in to Rosie on the House. We're broadcasting live from inside the facility at Westworld in Scottsdale for the first Arizona Get Outdoors Expo. We are in a fully air-conditioned arena that's extremely comfortable. Jennifer would even tell you, bring a light sweater.
I'm sure it'll change once people start opening the door. But it is cool in here.
It's cool in here. And we've got boats in here. We've got fishing boats. We've got water ski boats. We've got wakeboard boats. We've got SUVs. We've got quads. We've got rattlesnakes. We've got fish ponds that the kids can catch fish at. The game and fish department is here. We've got archery ranges that you can bring the kids and have them demonstrate and play with the archery, the bows and the arrows. We've got a survival skills specialist here. We've got the Air Force here with their simulator. You can crawl in the trailer and actually get in the pilot seat and fly missions. That's a really exciting. It's all here. It's all at the Arizona Get Outdoors. It's at Westworld. And I know we've got $25 million worth of our RVs outside and motorhomes. There's hundreds of them out there. So come on over. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got mutton busting for the kids all afternoon. Want to give your kids a real thrill? Come teach them how to mutton bust. They strap you on the back of a sheep.
Yeah, you're not strapped. You're holding on. You're holding on to the wool. There is no cinch. There's no strap.
It's kind of
you grab a fistful of wool and bite your teeth and hang on.
It's kind of introduction to bull riding 101, right? To get started, right?
I'm sure a lot of them do. And I saw them. They worked up the dirt pretty good, so they got a nice soft landing. And I mean, when you fall off a sheep, you're going, 18 inches at the most. I bet the sheep are probably shorter than that here.
They're going to be doing it all afternoon. The show actually opens at 10 o'clock this morning in 1 hour, open till 6 p.m. this evening. Tomorrow, Sunday, you can come out after church. We'll be open from noon to 4. That's the first ever Arizona Get Outdoors Expo. Come introduce your kids to getting outside, because you can do that because you listen to Rosie on the House. And your house is in good shape. You're not a slave to your home. You're not having to spend every weekend repairing, fixing, painting, or patching something. And you've got the opportunity to spend some time and get outdoors. Today's theme, we always try and carry a theme on our day. Today's theme is the lifeblood of the Southwest, the Colorado River. We talked about floating the Colorado River at the 7 o'clock hour. We talked about re-diverting the Colorado River into your lawn and garden in the 8 o'clock hour. And this morning we brought in a particular expert who has served for a decade as the head of the Arizona Department of Water Resources, Ms. Rita McGuire, who's now in private practice specializing in water management issues. Rita, thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks, Rosie.
So water is your world.
Water's my thing. I love it.
Water is a peculiar thing. It's so simple, but it can be so complicated. Like in the old West, they used to say, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting over, right?
Absolutely. When I was director, I used to say it was like playing chess on three different boards at the same time, because you have different laws, different agreements, different types of water. It's very complicated.
So I started asking around to some friends of mine. I said, okay, in April, we were facing some cutbacks in water allocations from the Colorado River in Arizona. And I thought, will I sense that at my house? And then they said, well, not tier one. That's my primary agriculture. Tier two, tier three. And these were all things I'd never even heard of. And so I started asking around, and your name kept coming up. And they said, well, nobody knows more about Colorado River allocations than Rita McGuire. You got to see if she'll come on there. So thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
So, we grew up not drinking a lot of water in South Louisiana. But we have been told, Romy, by the time water gets to the Mississippi Delta, it's been processed through a human or a cow 18 times.
something number you don't want to think
that,
about.
That's why water. That's why New Orleans isn't known for its water consumption.
And if you look in the old cookbooks, the Cajun cookbooks, there are so many recipes for drinks, because all the water had to be boiled, and the last thing you want on a humid Louisiana sunny summer afternoon is something hot to drink. So they had all these different recipes and tricks for boiling and purifying and drinking a lot of other things.
Yeah, a lot of other things besides water. So here in the West, Rita, I think it's generally accepted we've been in a drought for a decade and a half.
Exactly, about 15 years.
Yeah. And it's not to say, wasn't it about 6 years ago we had a phenomenal amount of snowfall that filled up Roosevelt to like its highest level since the new dam extension? But just that 1 year wasn't sufficient to pull us out.
Exactly. You never know you're in a drought until you're looking back on it. So it's like hindsight's 20/20. But when you're in a dry period going forward, no one knows. Mother Nature's the only one that has the magic key to how much water is going to come down the river next year. So you look back in hindsight, and for us, the last 15 years have been below normal rainfall, snowfall. But there are spikes, even in those 15 years, where you get a big gush of water and
right.
a big series of storms. And is that the end of the drought? Or is it just a temporary situation, and then the dry period is going to continue?
I guess I'd be curious to say, what defines a drought? Just below normal, below average?
Exactly.
And do you have
what
to be a
average?
Certain percentage?
You do. You look at different water systems. So the Colorado's been monitored for over 100 years, and you look at every year how much water comes down, and you develop long-term averages. The same things with the Salt and the Verde systems. You look at how much snowpack there is in places like the Rocky Mountains or the Sierra Nevadas, and that's how you decide whether or not you've got a wet year or a dry year.
Because we were just beginning to implement the first tier of rationing earlier this year.
You're exactly right. In fact, next week is the time when the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation determines whether or not it would declare a shortage on the Colorado River system in the lower basin. And the lower basin is Arizona, California, and Nevada states. And they would make that determination based on what the elevation of Lake Mead is. And that elevation is 1075. Right now we're at 1075 and 6 inches.
Oh, and what is 1075? What?
It's basically 1,075 feet elevation. The full capacity of Lake Mead is probably about 1,220 feet.
Wow.
So you can see what the difference is. 1 foot of elevation in Lake Mead is equal to about 100,000 acre feet of water, which is enough to serve a million people.
Wow. Arizona's only 113,000 acres.
Right.
That's a lot of water.
Well, exactly, and I should explain what an acre foot is. It's basically a football field of water, 1 foot deep, is an acre foot of water.
And that's capable of supplying how many people water?
About 10 people. Two families of five is what we typically describe an acre foot of water serving.
325,000 gallons.
Correct.
Okay.
For how long?
That's for
one year.
1 year.
Now, so the question is, a typical Arizona family is consuming about 16,000 gallons of water a month, okay? And so we have these limitations. The more I read, the more concerned I got, and then at the end of the story, I got real comfortable. But is it true that California, by priority, can take its entire allocation out of the Colorado River before Arizona gets one drop?
That's exactly true. It's true. It was an agreement that was reached in 1968 with the passage of the Colorado River Basin Project Act, which is the act that funded the development of the Central Arizona Project System that we all know and love so well.
So, yes, you can have the CAP, but you got to agree to be the bottom feeder of the water that comes
exactly,
through.
Exactly, Romy.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, so that tells me that California must not be using its full allocation because we're still getting some. How much of their allocation do they currently consume?
Probably about 110%. They use more than their allocation, which is 4.4 million acre feet of water a year.
So they're cheating us.
They are.
But we're still keeping the CAP valve turned on.
We are. The way that it works is any unused water from the Colorado River that isn't used, diverted by Nevada or Arizona, can be taken by basically the farmers in Southern California. So that's why they can exceed their 4.4 million. If Nevada doesn't use all of its water, we don't use all of our water, they get it. But they don't get rights to it. They just get it that year.
Well, there's 9 cities that the National Drought Mitigation Center claims there are 9 cities in serious jeopardy of running out of water, and they are all in California, and they constitute a population of over 4 million.
I absolutely believe that. I'm not surprised. As you know, Governor Brown issued an executive order in April requiring every city in California to reduce their demand by 25% by next year.
Yeah.
So they're in a extreme drought condition. It's scary.
And so I guess I'm puzzled now. If they're using 110% of their allotment, we're still getting water that is due them.
Well, we don't use our full entitlement. We have rights to 2.8 million acre feet. So we're the second largest entitlement holder, is what we say in the lower basin. Poor Nevada only has rights to 320,000 acre feet, so it's pretty tiny.
Wow.
Because it was divvied up, you know, well before Las Vegas existed. Nobody expected southern Nevada to need any water. They thought, whoa, you're going to give us this much water? We're getting a deal. We don't need it. But the reality is, of course, the world changed radically over the last 50 years. But even so, Arizona doesn't use all of its water. But what we do, is, and when I say use directly, deliver it to Phoenix, Tucson, what we do is instead store it underground. So we try to store all of our unused water in aquifers in central Arizona.
Who's Mike McNulty?
He's a water lawyer in Tucson.
He claims that the water level under the Tucson Water Service area is actually rising.
Right.
Is it due to this?
It's because we're delivering CAP water to Tucson. They used to be the single largest city in the Southwest only using groundwater. Now they've turned off the pumps and they're taking CAP water.
All right. Water. It can be so simple. It's just three molecules, but it can be so complicated. More when we get back here at Rosie on the House with Rita McGuire.